or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
John and the White House, meaning the president, were on two different pages when it came to communication.
Former head of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, talking about today's surprise resignation of White House spokesman Sean Spicer. He said Spicer was never really a good fit for working with President Trump, and he called Spicer a consummate professional.
Sean is such a good guy. I mean, he did a great job in his years at the RNC. He is a consummate professional. He's a party loyalist.
Spicer reportedly resigned out of protest of the hiring of Anthony Scaramucci as the new White House communications director. A federal judge in California appointed by President Obama has upheld his order blocking President Trump's actions against cities that refuse to enforce laws against illegal immigrants, otherwise known as sanctuary cities. The Justice Department said they released a memo on the restrictions that negated the judge's action. The judge says it wasn't good enough. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention, all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
The state of Hawaii is launching a campaign in case North Korea decides to send a missile their way. Chris Barnes with the story.
State officials in Hawaii have begun a public information campaign that's including evacuation drills for school students and public service announcements that tell people to get inside, and stay tuned. The campaign also features tests of a new emergency siren system on the first workday of every month. I'm Chris Barnes.
The State Department restricting travel for U.S. citizens to North Korea. The statement from the State Department says mounting concerns over serious risk of arrest and long-term detention under North Korea's system of law enforcement is the motive. Americans who want to travel to North Korea for humanitarian purposes have to apply for a special validation transport. The move comes after the death of American student Otto Warmbier, who'd been imprisoned in North Korea and was obviously mistreated by the North Korean government. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
A consumer watchdog group is trying to file suit to stop Amazon from being able to buy Whole Foods over deception in advertising.
The Federal Trade Commission announced Thursday that consumer watchdog wants the FTC to block the deal over what it calls deceptive anti-competitive pricing. The FTC is investigating claims that more than 60% of 1,000 items with list prices on Amazon's website were overpriced. Amazon said in a statement the claims are flat out wrong. It says consumer watchdog study is deeply flawed and based on improper assumptions.
The family of a gang member shot and killed by police near San Diego is now suing over the death. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Jonathan Cornell led San Diego County Sheriff's deputies on a short chase in Vista and was shot and killed at the end. His family said Thursday that they've teamed up with the National Action Network and a civil rights lawsuit will be filed. Authorities say Cornell was a documented gang member and was shot 16 times on July 5th after refusing to comply with commands. The deputy involved has been placed on leave, and the family says the lawsuit is to weed out bad apples in the department. I'm Jason Campidonia.
There are reports now saying Special Counsel Robert Mueller is asking the White House to preserve documents that pertain to last year's meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer. CNN reporting Mueller sent a document preservation request to the White House. Trump Jr. says the meeting was billed as a chance to get dirt on Democrat Hillary Clinton, but in the end was nothing more than a discussion about the adoption of Russian children. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. The topic of mimes is probably not ideal for a radio show, but we're going to give it a try today because we have an opportunity to talk with someone who knew the world's most famous mime, Marcel Marceau. Paulette Frankel is an artist, a mime in her own right, and the author of Marcel and Me, a memoir of love, lust, and illusion. You can find out more at marcelandme.com. Paulette Frankel, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I love that you're saying a radio show about mime.
You know, it's interesting. I once heard a radio program in which they did a send-up of an interview with a famous mime, and he would ask the questions, and then there would just be long periods of silence. I contemplated doing that in this case, but I thought that for the sake of my affiliates and the silence alarms that would go off with the automation, it probably wasn't the best possible thing to do.
So, story's much too salacious for that.
Probably so. Now, you had a relationship with Marcel Marceau, and a lot of times in relationships, the woman is eager for the man to open up, to talk more. Given that you were dating the world's most famous mime, did you experience any trouble with that?
No, I couldn't shut him up, or he couldn't, nobody could shut him up once he started. Obviously mime is a very high art, and the fact that it's silent makes it even more unique. But Marcel was a man who spoke many, many languages. Uh-huh. I don't even know how many. He certainly was prone to learn languages easily because of his impeccable sense of timing and rhythm. And, there's a certain musical quality. If you're good with music, you have an easier time speaking languages in a somewhat convincing fashion. And he was outstanding at that.
Interesting. So he bottled it up while he was on stage, but he was really quite gifted in a range of languages. So that was never a problem.
Yes.
How did you first meet Marcel Marceau. How did the two of you run into one another?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it run in. I was freshly divorced and very much in search of my essence. I felt like I was sort of drowning. And, you know, when you drop a marriage, and I was also a mother, there's a big hole in your life, even if it's something that you yourself have made happen. And so I was searching for my own essence and for just to get closer to the core of life. And at that time in California, mime was everywhere. This was in the early 70s in 71. And I'd seen mimes at the Renaissance Fair and was very taken by them. And I'd also seen Marcel Carné's movie, Children of Paradise, which is one of my favorites. And so I heard that Marcel was coming to De Anza College, which is a small junior college.
That's in the South San Francisco Bay Area, correct?
Yes, it's either Cupertino or Los Altos. It's right on the cusp. And so I went, and I could only afford a 26-row seat, which is terrible for mine because facial expressions are key. But even at that, I was completely blown away, and I just felt that I had to meet him. I don't know why. I don't know what I thought I'd say to some man who, you know, who'd only seen in sounds. So I went to the ushers and said, how do I get backstage? And they said, no one is allowed backstage. No one. And they yelled it in my face. And I thought, well, I'm not going to ask you again. So at the end of the performance, everybody was politely exiting the theater. And I just climbed onto the stage. Back as if I was part of the cleanup committee or something. Okay. And I walked on into the wings, which was pitch dark, and slammed right into him. And amazingly enough, there was only one other person with him. That was somebody who I happened to know. I mean, what are the odds?
Wow. So you were able to make an immediate and direct connection right at that moment.
Yes, and a personal one. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
And Marcel had, you know, when you do a one-man show for 2 hours, your senses are gyrating and you're dilated. Mm-hmm. And he looked right into me. Said, you are an artist, aren't you? And I was, my sense of perception was dilated too, because I'd just done this very bold thing of going onto the stage at risk of being arrested. And it was pitch dark, so I looked right back into him. I am an artist, and I just looked right back into him, and you know, we connected.
We're speaking with Paulette Frankel. She's the author of Marcel and Me, a memoir of love, lust, and illusion. So from that moment, from that initial spark, how did things blossom?
Well, then I was a hippie. I was living an alternative lifestyle in the Santa Cruz Mountains, meaning with the help of other people, I built a cabin and we grew our own food and, you know, all those things that people did in those days. And so I asked my friend, Hans Kramer was his name, to set me up with Marcel Marceau, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But if you're really serious about connecting with him, he'll be at the Beverly Hills Hotel for 3 weeks. So I went back to my farm and wrote him a letter. And I thought, you know, this is going to be a chance in a million. This is the true needle in the haystack, because I knew he had hundreds of letters every day from fans. And how does a young hippie divorcee farmer, you know, stand out amongst the crowd? So I wrote him this doozy of a letter, and 2 weeks later or thereabouts, I was feeding the animals, and the phone rang. I came dashing in, and it was Marcel Marceau. May I speak with Paulette? Oh, my God. I was so mortified that my diaphragm grabbed my throat, and all I could do was burp. But finally, we managed to get some sort of conversation. And then he asked me to send him a photograph, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, he doesn't even remember who I am. Mm-hmm. I sent him a photograph, and he liked it, and then a real exchange started. And after quite a short time, actually, he invited me to join him for 1 week on what was essentially a blind date mm-hmm. At the end of his American tour in Chicago and Detroit. And, you know, I said yes. I mean, who does either of those things? It's madness.
Maybe it's kind of self-evident given what we know about Marcel Marceau's personality and his stage presence and his abilities, but what was it that you saw in that performance and that you expressed in that letter to him that really did it for you? I mean, what was it about him? What did you see in him that drew you forward?
Well, on stage, I had never seen such elegance and poetry of music, of movement that wasn't, you know, in a dance form or something like that. I mean, he was basically expressing emotions on stage, and that was it, emotions. Well, he was so elegant and eloquent without words, and I just and his projection of his emotions onto the audience, I felt just opened up, and I was rocked with laughter and pouring with tears and just aghast half the time of the thing. And they were, you know, they were stories. So mime demands total audience attention. And nowadays, the audience's time has changed, and audiences don't have that kind of attention span or the ability to slow down enough to pay attention and to concentrate.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a moment with Paulette Frankel. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's yanmartractor.com.
This report is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. The three most common and severe threats to cardiovascular health in the United States are heart failure, heart attack, and stroke. These potentially fatal conditions are treated in hospitals across America, but Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago has become a leader in the treatment of heart failure and other cardiovascular diseases. In fact, the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Memorial is ranked number one for survival rate of heart failure patients and number two for survival of patients suffering from heart attack or stroke. Dr. Clyde Yancey, Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
Northwestern Medicine has taken a nation-leading position in heart failure through a disease-specific, patient-level approach that involves identifying and then treating patients earlier in their disease. It is now possible to delay and even prevent heart failure. Mechanical pumps and transplants are important, but the future is in restoring heart function and ultimately the prevention of heart failure.
To learn more, visit heart.nm.org.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Paulette Frankel. She's an artist, a mime, and the author of Marcel and Me, a memoir of love, lust, and illusion. Once you were able to connect with him offstage, what kind of a man did he turn out to be, and how did your relationship progress?
Well, I did go to New York. I went through this thing of, my God, what does a farmer, basically, and I'm not a farmer by birth. I'm a Stanford graduate, and I've been around the world, and I speak languages myself. I'm highly sophisticated. However, at that time, I was in my hippie family of man, persona. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know what to wear, and I designed a cape, a velvet cape, but I could only afford to have the velvet come from a curtain. Mm-hmm. And I had it made, and there was applique flowers around the shoulders, and the petals of the flowers fell down the back of the cape, which was quite a lovely thing. And it disguised the fact that there was a sunstreak down the cape because it was made from a curtain. Mm-hmm. So, I was really a homemade job of artistry. But then I ran out of money when it came to the shoes, and so I had to wear my farm boots, which I, cleaned to the best of my ability, but nonetheless, this is not the kind of outfit you wear for an entree into society's theater set.
Nevertheless, it seems like it might have been worthy of, say, Julietta Messina or something like that.
Something like that is the key there. And I don't know what he thought, really. I felt ridiculously out of place. But here again, fortunately, the hippie movement was big in America, and I felt very much a part of it. So when we were at a society party after the closing of his Chicago run, the people there were looking me up and down like, oh, my God, where'd you get her? And I just I looked them up and down right back and thought, oh, too bad, your designer clothes are so outdated.
And so you went on tour with him. You followed along through his series of engagements throughout the United States?
No, I continued my life, and we would meet whenever, we're talking about years now, where this was a 36-year interaction. Hmm. We would meet whenever he happened to cross my whereabouts in an area where I could get to the theater. But we never lived together. We were lovers, mm-hmm. and the book is sexually active, and that was a hugely bold a stance for me to take, because this is not fiction. This is the real thing. Mm-hmm. And Marcel is one of the world's most beloved entertainers, and I had a family to consider. We're thinking, Mom, are you out of your mind?
Right. And as I understand it, at various points during that period, he had a family to consider as well.
He certainly did. He had more family than I did, but he was lucky, or not lucky, I don't know. You know, he's dead now. He's been dead for 7 years, and the book just came out this year. But it's real. It's vulnerable. It's bold. It's brave. Brave on everybody's part. And it's a great read.
We're speaking with Paulette Frankel, and her book is Marcel and Me, a memoir of love, lust, and illusion. As you were saying before, miming is sort of experiencing a regression. It's somewhat out of vogue in this day and age. That may have something to do with what you discussed involving people's attention spans. But are there still a few folks out there running against the wind and practicing it?
Yes, there are indeed. But he was, you know, he ratcheted himself up to the point of sort of being synonymous with the mime, which was not the case at all. There are many mimes, and they're all, many of them are excellent. I think one of the things that is very different about what he did was he wasn't just sort of mimicking little kind of cutesy little stories. He was really saying things that mattered. He mimicked the war. He mimicked the cage, which is it's a startling piece in which he finds himself in his cage, and it is a metaphor for the cage of our life that we all live in, and the freedom of the outside is it's right there, it's within reach, but he can't get out, and the more he struggles, the more the walls of the cage close in on him.
Do you think, Paulette Frankel, that his popularity as he rose to international fame in the 1950s had much to do with it being in the wake of World War II and the pain that he expressed in so many of his performances?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't know he was Jewish. His father was killed in Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. The family had to leave on a half an hour notice. And his real name is not Marcel Marceau, it's Marcel Mangel, which is, you know, a very Jewish name. And he changed it because of the Gestapo and what was going on at that time. So he picked a name which of a French Legionnaire hero, and the initials were the same, MM. Mm-hmm. And he went with that one, which, of course, is a much sort of more musical name. And it served him well. But he put, one of the things I think is quite great was how he survived, a person of his sensitivity and perceptivity, how he survived the terrors of the war, where you never knew if you're going to make it through tomorrow or the next minute even. And not only did he survive, he spirited a lot of Jewish children out of France and into Switzerland by posing as a scout leader and giving them basic training in mime, which is basically silence. And he took them right under the noses of the Gestapo. He altered their papers so they looked younger than they were and got them out of France.
It's an amazing side of Marcel Marceau that not many people hear about. Paulette Frankel, the author of Marcel and Me, thank you for being here today. Thank you for telling us about it, and thank you for bringing forward your story.
Derek, the thank you is from me. My website is marcelandme.com, and it's been a pleasure.
Up next, we speak with Lenore Skenazy. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com. I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
His sort of slow movement off the center stage over the last few weeks was a telltale sign.
Former Republican National Committee head Michael Steele talking about the resignation of Sean Spicer, saying he wasn't really that surprised with today's announcement.
At least he was thinking about making a change, and I think the president's move with Scaramucci just sort of sealed that deal.
Spicer confirmed his resignation and said he'll be staying on in the position through August. The burgeoning police scandal in Baltimore continues to grow with a police officer who was caught on video allegedly planting evidence. State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby says they're reevaluating every case involving the three officers in this situation.
So far, we've identified close to 100 cases where these officers have some sort of involvement.
And an early report on the deadly collision at sea of a U.S. warship says it may be the fault of the warship's crew. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. With us today, we have Lenore Scanese. She's the host of the Discovery Life Channel's television show, World's Worst Mom. She also writes for Reason.com, and her work appears on FreeRangeKids.com. She is an advocate of the Free Range Kid movement, encouraging parents to let their kids go out into the world, experience what it's like, and not to hover over them like helicopter parents. Lenore, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on the news.
Excellent. Well, in 2008, you suffered intense public criticism after allowing your 9-year-old son to ride in, of all places, the New York City subway on his own. Now, your son must be, 15 or 16 at this point.
Actually, you won't believe it. Yesterday he turned 17. Oh,
wow.
My God, everybody's got so old.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I can only assume that he has been attacked by gangs, mauled by tigers, in black holes dozens of times at this point.
Don't forget the eagle snatching him off the streets right outside of Yankee Stadium and
raised by wolves for a couple of years, no doubt. How do we get over these fears? How is he? What's he doing at this point to begin with?
Well, let's see. I hope he's in school. But I guess I won't find out until there's a phone call.
That's
but
right. And you won't text him to find out necessarily until he comes.
I won't. I'll be the last to know. the way to get over fears is, and it took me a long time to recognize the technique that works, which is you can't listen to me and you can't Google the FBI statistics, because both of us will tell you that crime is down. Crime is back to what it was, the level it was in 1963. But it never, ever feels that way to people, and so telling them that doesn't make any difference. The only thing that I've seen that changes parents is seeing their own kids. And that's basically what the television show I do is, the World's Worst Mom. I'm like the super nanny, except for really very anxious parents instead of bratty kids. Although I guess the kids could be bratty too, but generally they weren't. They were just kids who were very well-behaved, nice kids whose parents wouldn't let them have one lick of freedom, like a mom who would... Yeah, there was a mom who was still feeding, like spoon-feeding her 10-year-old. And wow. There was a mom who let her 8-year-old get a skateboard, but he could only stand on it on the grass on the front lawn. They're you know, parents who wouldn't let their kids walk to school, past, you know, a 4-minute walk to school, wouldn't let them ride a bike, wouldn't let them do anything. And what I basically did was just sat in the house with the parents. I mean, it sounds like an undramatic show. It was better than this. Basically, I just sat in the house with the parents, mostly the moms, while I let the kids go run an errand, go get the milk, you know, go to school, go get a library book, have a lemonade stand down the block. And when they came back in and they're flushed and they're happy and they just started riding a bike, or they just, you know, they made dinner and mom come downstairs and see, when they did this, the parents' fear, it like evaporated. It was just very strange. They would like go, look at my kid can ride a bike, or, oh, this is such a delicious dinner. And they would be so proud of their kid that the fear was replaced by joy and pride and joy, the old twosome, pride and joy. And so that's how you can change fear. You can let your kids do something on their own, and it will remind you of yourself when you were a kid, and it will remind you that your kid's not a baby.
How did we get to the point in our society where a mom or a dad would buy a skateboard for a kid and only let them stand on it? I mean, is this a product of generational mores? Is it a product of being so saturated with such paranoid stories from the media? How did we get here?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think the media definitely had a huge part in this. You know, basically, if I went to my television and, A, I could figure out how to turn it on. My husband has put it through so many different computers and, you know, DVRs and speakers that I can't turn it on. But if I could turn it on, I could flip the channels first. You know, it's pathetic. I would flip the channels and find a story of a kid being kidnapped or murdered. And it would be because I'd been seeing Law and Order, because it's almost impossible to turn on TV and not watch Law and Order. Or I'd be watching the news, or it'd be an anniversary, or it's a trial. There's always some horrible story on the media. And when you know, there's a reason people buy advertising time. There's a reason Coke is always advertising. It's because if you see Coke ads all the time, eventually you want a Coke.
Right.
I want a Coke now. Just right. Talking about it. And if you see only the worst case scenarios all the time on television, you start doing what I call worst first thinking. When you're thinking like, gee, I wonder if my kid can go to the bus stop. Up comes a picture in your mind of J.C. Dugard or of Eitan Patz, and you think, oh, my God, no, my child can't go. You go to the worst-case scenario first, and proceed as if it's likely to happen. And I don't blame you, because those are the stories that have the pictures and the video in our mind, and the millions of kids who walked to school and didn't get abducted don't have even a Google entry. You know, you can't Google lots of kids, nothing happened to. That's not it's impossible, right?
But right.
I you know what? I always talk about this on the radio, and I'm in front of my computer now, and I'm actually going to Google safe to, you know, let's see, child safe at bus stop.
Live on air, we're actually seeing this happen in action.
Child safe at school bus. Oh, you know what? This is the Yahoo one. I meant to go to Google.
Yeah,
I don't know why my – all right, child safety bus stop.
Live research on radio.
Yeah. It's how to make sure your children are safe at the bus stop, says ABC News. And I don't want to start listening to this because then we'll have me in it. But how to make sure your children are safe at the bus stop. So already it's framed as if you, the parent, must make sure they're safe at the bus stop. It's not a given then of course they're safe at the bus stop.
Right.
Everybody's always gone to school from the bus stop. What's the big deal?
Right. And of course, we have entire networks like Headline News, which are essentially the child
B-word.
Paranoia network.
It is so bad. I can, you know, people always say, like, oh, you were on Fox. Weren't they terrible? And I'm like, you want a terrible network? Go to Headline News. I mean, I've been on there, I think, 5 or 6 times.
Right.
And I'd say 4 or 5 of the times, they put me on with the parent of a murdered child, which is, it's tragic. It is tragic. There's nothing that makes me sadder. There's nothing that makes anyone sadder than the idea of a child murdered. But it ends up seeming like, well, there's a 50% chance your kid will be fine, like Lenore says, or a 50% chance your child will be murdered, like the child of, and then whoever they put me on with. And there's always that yin-yang thing in news where it's like, is it safe to walk along an avalanche route, during a snowstorm? So-and-so says yes, and so-and-so says no. It's like, no is right.
and that's an important distinction. And we're speaking with Lenore Skenazy, who is the host of the Discover Life Channel television show, World's Worst Mom. And she writes for Reason.com and FreeRangeKids.com is her website. How do we distinguish between what is a reasonable fear and what is completely overblown? And the media doesn't help us make those decisions.
No, the media turns everything into overblown. I mean, if you're watching the media, you'd think that if you microwaved, yesterday's Chinese food in a plastic container, you're going to end up with, pancreatic cancer the next day. I mean, everything is seen just in the worst possible light. But the way I suggest that people try to figure out risk is, first of all, to realize that risk is inherent in everything. People who say, well, why don't you just keep your kids at home? It's like, okay, but let's get rid of the stairs. More people die from falling off of furniture than die being kidnapped. So let's get rid of all the things that you could possibly fall off of. Let's get rid of everything that could fall off the wall. The Consumer Product Safety Commission they just issued a recall of 140,000 children's sweatshirts because there had been a one complaint of the zipper pull coming off of one sweatshirt.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a moment with Lenore Skenazy. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. The 3 most common and severe threats to cardiovascular health in the United States are heart failure, heart attack, and stroke. These potentially fatal conditions are treated in hospitals across America, but Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago has become a leader in the treatment of heart failure and other cardiovascular diseases. In fact, the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Memorial is ranked #1 for survival rate of heart failure patients and #2 for survival of patients suffering from heart attack or stroke. Dr. Clyde Yancey, Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
Northwestern Medicine has taken a nation-leading position in heart failure through a disease-specific, patient-level approach that involves identifying and then treating patients earlier in their disease. It is now possible to delay and even prevent heart failure. Mechanical pumps and transplants are important, but the future is in restoring heart function and ultimately the prevention of heart failure.
To learn more, visit heart.nm.org.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest.
We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair, and we're back with Lenore Skenazy of Free Range Kids. What is the danger that is not always so difficult to realize in the moment of conditioning your child to avoid all sorts of situations which might potentially, conceivably, have some distant element of danger? What sort of mindset are you fostering, and what's the risk of that societally?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I hate to harp on, like, you parents are doing it wrong, because then I just become part of this chorus of, like, you know, everybody's getting it wrong and everybody's screwing up their kids. But for a sort of macro look at what's happening, the expert that I turn to is a man named, Peter Gray, who wrote the book Free to Learn. And he also wrote the textbook on psychology that's used in colleges across the country, including at Harvard. So he's a psychologist of some renown. And he was talking to me the other day, and he said that the incidences of childhood, like this is, I think, kids like from either 4 to 15 or 8 to 15, of childhood depression as measured by a standard test that's been given since the 50s, so it's always answering these same questions, it's not like the test has changed, has gone up 5 to 8 times. And the suicide rate, which, thank God, is still very tiny, in children under 15. Thank God, I'm knocking on wood, and this is getting a very depressing conversation. But that has also gone up 4 times since the 50s. And so there's something about being told that everything is out to get you and that you're only safe if mom has her eyes literally upon you or electronically upon you. Something about that, having no free time, no unsupervised time, no chance to walk to school, no chance to play in the woods, no chance to make a fort, is depressing and perhaps worse to kids.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think we see it in a lot of different things in our society, whether you're talking about antidepressants or whether you're just talking about a sort of intrinsic I hesitate to call it conservatism, but an unwillingness to take risks, an unwillingness to go out. A fear, not just in situational circumstances like we're talking about, but when it comes to politics, when it comes to making an investment, when it comes to taking steps in your life decades further down the line.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting. I talk about that. I mean, when I think about worst-first thinking, I've tried to broaden it. It isn't just about parents. I mean, if you really think that, like, all scientific progress is going to mean more cancer or, you know, or more complexity and more just terribleness, like, oh, you can't have any kind of progress. And right. Interestingly, sort of to go back to the parenting point and tie it all together, this guy named Stuart Brown, who's like considered the grandfather of studying how important play is, he was talking to the people at NASA and the Jet Propulsion Labs, and they were saying that when the guys who sent us to the moon started to retire and they were being replaced at NASA by a new generation of young geniuses, the kids coming in or the young people coming in were really smart and they could really do almost anything when you put a computer in front of them.
Right.
But when you get something like Apollo 13 and you have these guys stuck on the far side of the moon with, you know, a roll of duct tape and a cardboard box, and you say, okay, you got to get them home. They didn't know what to do because they just weren't used to, you know, rolling with the punches and thinking for themselves and taking these kind of risks. Like, okay, this sounds crazy, but it just might work, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so what NASA has started doing is asking its applicants, how did they spend their time as kids? And they're looking for kids who played and tinkered and made things on their own because that's the kind of brain that we need for the most demanding and the most entrepreneurial and the most innovative jobs in the future.
And it's very interesting that you mention that because just this week a study has come out of the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, saying that smartphones actually make us more stupid because they substitute for real intelligence. And I think that's happening with children at a younger and younger age. And you're right, they're brilliant when it comes to manipulating these devices. But when they're outside that zone, they don't have much experience with it,
just experience. Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't think that they're dumb or anything. But I actually remember writing an article about this too. Was my son's smartphone making him dumb? But you know, a bunch of years ago, because really, I felt like he used to go and just my older son used to always go and read books at the bookstore, and now he had a smartphone. But you know, I actually have no idea whether smartphones are making us dumber or smarter. But I do know that when kids are required by necessity to come up with something to do because it's just them and a bunch of their friends and a stick,
right.
Chances are they'll have to be creative, they'll have to compromise, they have to, you know, use all their social skills to figure out the teams and how to play and whether the ball or the stick or whatever is in or out. And these are all things that children have done since the beginning of time, and it's radical and new not to have kids outside on their own figuring out what to do. And, you know, we'll see what happens next.
One final question, Lenore Scanese. If they do not have you sitting in their living rooms while their kids go to the store to get something, what is one step that a paranoid parent can take to expand their kids' horizons and hopefully move towards being a free-range parent?
Oh, okay. Let's see. One step. Here's an easy one. When you're standing at the bus stop with your kid, and I'm standing at the bus stop with my kid, and there's a bunch of other people around, or when we're all waiting for soccer to start, and we're all with our individual children, like a security detail for each child, offer to watch them all. And that, to me, is just the very beginning of what I really believe free-range kids is, which is all of us helping each other and reaching out to each other as opposed to judging each other and scaring each other. So what I'm saying, if I say, listen, you know, I'll look after your kids and all the other kids here, I'm saying, like, it's not that dangerous. You know, we don't need bodyguards for each kid. And we're a community, and I know that we all have places to go, and I'll do this for you. Maybe you'll do this for me sometime. And, you know, our kids can amuse themselves. They don't need us here to say, like, there comes a bus. Bus starts with B, you know? I mean, it's just reminding us that this very intensive one-on-one parenting teachable moment, watch them every second, protect them every step of the way, model of parenting is new. And it's oppressive, and we can say goodbye to it the second we decide to.
That's excellent advice, and an amazing step towards building a stronger community, which is intrinsic to building stronger kids. Lenore Scanese, she is the host of Discovery Life Channel's World's Worst Mom. She writes at Reason.com, writes at FreeRangeKids.com. Lenore, thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. And there's bad news for parents who are trying to steer their kids clear of profanity. Apparently, it's increasing rapidly in prime time. To report on this important story, we have with us today our correspondent, Charles Wiegand. Charles, welcome back again to Now It's the News. Tell us, what is going on in prime time? What's going on in television? And what do parents have to look out for?
Well, Derek, it was once a big deal for primetime viewers to hear certain words on network television. It seems those times are no more. The Parents Television Council has released a report that finds that in the past 5 years, we have seen a 69.3% increase in primetime profanity.
That's an amazing statistic. We're getting this information from the Parents Television Council. What kinds of things are going on here? What do parents want to avoid?
Well, for instance, showed up 111 times during Family Hour in the fall 2010 season, while the same word only appeared 10 times in 2005.
Those are some amazing statistics. Even if we eliminate all the obscenity, take away all the nudity, partial nudity, what have you, that's an amazing amount of profanity. Clearly, parents want to be on the alert. What else do they have to avoid? What else do they have to look out for?
The Parent Television Council, a organization, in the report titled A Habitat for Profanity, reveals that both the quantity and quality of swearing has increased.
Well, that's amazing. Those are some numbers.
I'd like to quote Parent Television Council President Tim Winter, who says, even worse, the most language is being aired during the time slots where children are most likely to be.
Those are some words from the head of the Parent Television Council. I'm wondering, just for our listeners, what is your advice? How do parents approach this? What do you think their reaction should be?
Well, I think all parents should know that television is just for time, and they should have their children watch television whenever they get a chance.
Those are incredibly words to live by for every parent listening to us now. Charles Wiegand, thanks for being with us again on Now It's the News.
Derek, thank you.
That's all the time we have this week. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Derek Blair. You can find out more information at nowitsthenews.com. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy Friday!
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's yanmartractor.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Class A Radio News with Jason Wirt.
His sort of slow movement off the center stage over the last few weeks was a telltale sign.
Former Republican National Committee head Michael Steele talking about the resignation of Sean Spicer, saying he wasn't really that surprised with today's announcement.
At least he was thinking about making a change, and I think the president's move with Scaramucci just sort of sealed that deal.
Spicer confirmed his resignation but said he'll be staying on in the position through August. The burgeoning police scandal in Baltimore continues to grow with a police officer who was caught on video allegedly planting evidence. State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby says they're reevaluating every case involving the three officers in this situation.
So far, we've identified close to 100 cases where these officers have some sort of involvement.
And an early report on the deadly collision at sea of a U.S. warship.